Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Wow. Well, Wakanda Forever is not a film to mince its sentiment. Given the sad departure of Chadwick Boseman, who previously played Black Panther, director Ryan Coogler has decided to address the issue head on. I mean, like, before the titles, the music, or even the first frame hits the screen, his passing becomes front and center, the focus of Wakanda Forever. And deliberately launching itself into a sensibly paced first act, the film does a brilliant job of addressing this sense of grief whilst also introducing some new faces for the story to come. I mean, story-wise and in short, after the demise of Black Panther, the world's other superpowers are now desperate to get their hands on Wakanda's cache of vibranium so they can start a new global arms race. However, in one of her many very fine speeches, Angela Bassett as Queen Ramonda tells them in not so polite terms to go and sling their spiderweb. Yet, soon after that, the US has managed to uncover some vibranium under the sea, aided by science student Riri Williams' one-of-a-kind tracking machine. And if that wasn't all bad enough, it turns out that there's a whole undersea kingdom ruled by some guy called Namor, who's had vibranium for years and is now threatening to wipe out Wakanda unless they help with his conquest of the world above. And so, yeah, there you go. It's a kind of cart and horse plotline where the very serious matter of T'Challa's passing is beautifully handled, whilst then it goes on to tack on some kind of global threat that calls for the reemergence of, well, you know who, in a updated you know what, and superhero-y stuff ensues. So whilst Marvel's favourite feuding brothers scrapping over a vacant throne plotline has been put to bed, so the real difference here with this film is the tone. Wakanda Forever is one seriously pretentious film. Mercifully not descending into Zack Snyder's Man of Steel's brow furrowing, it has to be said that this sequel is not the multicoloured vista that Black Panther was. If anything, the real treats this time are how Wakanda Forever lets the supporting cast flesh out their roles. And in this regard, Danai Gurira as Okoye, the head of Wakanda's elite guard, has an absolute ball. It's not just that she owns every scene she's in, but there's a real risk that she could actually own the entire movie. And that would have happened had it not been for Angela Bassett benching her halfway through. Although, don't worry, she'll be back later for the predictable punch-up. Also impressive acting-wise in this sequel is May I Destroy You's Michaela Cole. Sadly only given a handful of scenes, she's a welcome inclusion, as are a couple of other surprise star additions who'll arrive later. Martin Freeman returns again as Wakanda's friendly CIA hookup, all of which safely leaves the stage clear for Letitia Wright as Princess Shuri, aka Black Panther's sister, to move in. Building upon her whip-smart scientist role from the first film, Shuri gets plenty of nice banter with spiky science nerd Dominique Thorne as Riri Williams. Who's set to become the new war machine. However, that all said, when it comes to the more dramatic fare for Kingdom being under threat from T'Nokhurta's Namor, things start to get a little bit bland a bit fast. Whether it's the tiny wings on Namor's ankles that are supposed to make him faster than a fighter jet, or Shuri's sketchy descent into bloody revenge, Wakanda Forever dips in the middle when it did so well at the beginning. In the end, sadly, what remains is only what you'd expect. There's a huge fight and torches get passed in readiness for a rematch, aka Black Panther 3. And that's about it. Also, sadly, in the pre-credits cutscene, the film loses its nerve when it could have really broken away from tradition. Now, whether this was always an intentional, just a last-minute switch back to typecasting, internet forums are probably going to be blazing with this discussion for weeks to come. So, how will Wakanda Forever fare at the box office? Well, despite its non-taxing storyline, it's still a close equal to Black Panther. That said, in the very near distance, there's another big-budget sequel with blue undersea dwellers who would like to fight with the folk above the waves. All of which begs the question, is there really space enough in the multiplexes for two hotly anticipated sequels? Well, possibly. And that's given the fact that there's hardly any other films coming out in competition. Hence the lack of podcasts, and apologies for that. As such, it seems that most of the other studios are going to be releasing the rest of their movies in 2023, when James Cameron and Ryan Coogler have finished duking it out for the Christmas popcorn. Should you go and see Wakanda Forever? Yes, absolutely. If you like the first Black Panther movie, then this sequel has expressly been made for you. If you haven't already seen 2018's Black Panther, then that should definitely be your first step before buying a ticket.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next instant no spoiler reaction. All the best.